Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now, here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, everyone, to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm so excited that you're here with us. Of course, I just want to remind you that our show is here every Saturday from 6 to 7 a.m. I know that's a wake-up time. And then again from 2 to 3, and I'm so glad you're here. We always talk about things that can add value to our life. And, you know, I have four kids, and so I'm really excited and want to learn some new techniques and some new tips from our new guest, Dr. Jeffrey Jensen Arnett. And he is, it's all about emerging adulthood. Can you guys imagine? You know, we hear of so many kids moving back home. You send them off to college, and it's hard for them. They're trying to get into their new life and stuff, but a lot of times they move back home. So he's been studying emerging adulthood, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in the adolescent research that he's done. His book is When Will My Grown-Up Kid Grow Up? And Loving and Understanding Your Emerging Adult. Let's welcome Dr. Jeffrey Jensen Arnett. Dr. Jensen, would you like me to call you that?
Dr. Arnett.
Arnett, okay. Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
So tell us a little bit about, do you have children?
I do.
So did you do this research for yourself, too?
Well, not really. You know, I've been studying 80 to 29-year-olds for the last 20 years. Long before I had children, I began studying them and learning about them and conceptualizing this 18 and 29-year-old period as a new life stage. So it's really an area of scholarship for me and research for a long time. I have my kids, they're now 13-year-olds. They're 13-year-old twins. So they're still to reach that age. But my co-author, Elizabeth Fischel, she has the experience of a mom of two boys in their 20s. So she really brought the personal experience to our book, and I brought the research experience and knowledge.
Okay, yes. Well, I have four children, two daughters and two sons, and my daughters are in their 20s, and then my sons are 18 and 17.
Okay.
So, you know, and my oldest daughter was so, she could not wait to get out the door to go to college, and then when she came back, her house wasn't ready, and so she moved in, and let me tell you, it was, she thought it was worse than we thought, you know? So it's interesting and in how they still kind of need us in this our recession and our time of life right now. It's so hard for kids to get out on their own.
Your example is a good one because a lot of people think of them moving at home just because they're lazy and they want to sponge off their parents, but that's almost never true. They usually move home out of necessity, economic necessity, because they lost a job or working in a job that doesn't pay enough, or they're in school full-time and can't work full-time.
And it's not by choice.
It's not by choice. They would much rather prefer, by and large, to live on their own. Not that they don't love you. I'm sure your daughter
does. No, yeah, but you know, you know the same. When you have a little bit of freedom, the last thing you want to do is come home.
Exactly. You just don't want to have your parents looking over your shoulder in that life stage. It's very important for them to be making their own decisions and just carving out their own path through life. And parents can't help but offer advice, can we? I mean, that's what we do.
We're built in.
We're always trying to guide them, and we do know better than them in a lot of ways.
Well, we've had experience, right?
We've had more experience, but they still don't want to hear it. They still want to make their own decisions and really run their own lives, and we have to respect that, I think. We talk a lot in the book about stepping back while staying connected.
I like that.
Offering emotional support, but stepping back, too, and realizing that you can't and shouldn't be trying to control their decisions about things like who their love partner is going to be or where they're going to live or what job they're going to take.
Right. I just want to remind any of my listeners that's just tuning in right now. I'm so glad that you're here on AM 1590 KVTA, listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I am your host, Kim, and we're talking right now with Dr. Jeffrey Denson Arnett. And Dr. Arnett's book is When Will My Grown-Up Kid Grow Up? Loving and Understanding Your Emerging Adult. And I love how you have on there, for parents whose children are 18 to 29, because so many people, you know, their kids just can't wait to leave home. But then, you know, it's a hard life out there, you know.
It's hard out there.
I remember my daughter when she first moved out, she's like, Mom, how did you and Dad feed all of us? You know? So there was a lot of things that she started the coupon game, and she started, like, learning all the tricks and trades to, you know, get a little bit more for your money.
No, that's good for her. You know, yeah. She's learning how to live on her own, and the hard realities of having to budget and not always being able to have the things you want.
Right. So what are we going to find in your book? I know that you talk about, you know, a capital P with planning, right?
Right. We talk about a plan with a capital P because we found that it's really helpful for people, both the emerging adults and the parents, to sit down and talk about what the plan is. Because there is a tendency, at least among some emerging adults, to drift through some of these years and flounder because they don't really know what they want. They don't know what to do. So it helps down to sit down and actually write out a plan. What do you want your life to look like 5 years from now, 10 years from now? And what are the steps you need to take to get there? And it may be difficult because, again, some of them just don't know. But it's a helpful exercise, and it can help clarify what their goals are and what steps they need to take.
I think that is so – I mean, you know, I think the only thing in life that we really don't have training for is being a parent. And that's, you know, I mean, you can go to school for everything, but not so much parenting. And then even when you have, you know, you have twins, they're not exactly the same, are they?
Right. I mean, I think all parents can attest to that. You, especially with four, you know, that they just come into the world differently.
Oh, gosh.
It's a very humbling experience to be a parent, isn't it?
And let me tell you, and even though I love and adore my children, it's really, I mean, I've heard this before that it's the, you know, it's the least thanked job, I guess you would say, right?
Well, the nice news of our book, actually, is that there really is a payoff in emerging adulthood, I think, for most parents, because there is so much work involved and stress involved and financial sacrifices and other kinds of sacrifices involved in raising your kids. And then when you get to be emerging adults, they're such nice people by and large. I mean, they're so much nicer to their parents generally than they were as adolescents. And
well,
a lot of parents tell us that this really feels like the reward for all those years of sacrifice.
I love it. You know, I mean, and I have to say, you know, as my kids start to be adults, or you call them emerging adulthood, right, is, you know, I love who they are turning out to be.
Mm-hmm.
I really
yeah.
do. And you go through that, you know, awkward mm-hmm. stage. Your kids are probably at that age where they're just starting to, you know,
yeah.
figure out who they are, you
yeah.
know. And so they start to, it's like they love you, and then all of a sudden they're, you know, everything you do, even though air that you breathe is wrong, you know.
Yeah, well, and it's great to see when they move their way into adulthood successfully. But there's also a lot of stress because sometimes they don't. I mean, Kim, often they don't. I'm sure you know that. That they struggle. Either they can't figure out what they want to do, or they just have a series of bad relationships, or they have some kind of severe problem. We interviewed parents for our book, and we have this in our book, the problems like addiction, eating disorders, mental health disorders. And that can be heartbreaking for parents because
yeah.
there's a limit what you can control and a limit what you can do for them. And it's really hard for parents to accept.
And, you know, I have to say, you know, one of my really great friends, I'm a hair therapist, and one of my clients that he truly became one of my friends, it was when my daughter had just moved away, and I was like, God, I just don't understand. I don't know what to do. And he goes, she's a really great kid. He goes, why don't you just cut the apron string and start all over and accept her as a new person? And it was like the best advice anybody could
advice.
Ever given me.
Well, we talk a lot in the book about the theme of stepping back while staying connected.
Mm.
And that's the real challenge for parents, is to stay connected. Your kids will still need you through most of their 20s, emotionally and, yes, sometimes financially too. But it's really important to step back as well and give them space to make their own decisions and make their own life. It's going to be their life to live and not yours.
Right. You know, I look at one of the things you have in your book here, Top 10 Things Are Better Left Unsaid.
That's one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, I love that. You know, when are you getting a haircut? Are you really going out in that, you know? Do you think
you're
dressed warm enough? I love them. I mean, those are just typical, you know. Have you gained weight? God, that's the last thing your kid wants to hear, you know.
But again, you know, we love our kids. We want the best for them, and we think we know best for them. It's very hard to accept, but we have to accept in their 20s that they need to make their own lives, and for better or worse, it's going to be their life to live. We have to let them have space to do it.
So true. Anybody that's just joining us right now, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We're talking with Dr. Jeffrey Jensen Arnett. His book is When Will My Grown-Up Kid Grow Up? And, you know, give us tips. I mean, what are we going to find when we read your book? I could talk to you for hours, I'm telling you. We're going to have you back because this is such a prevalent topic right now.
Well, we have chapters on all sorts of things. We have it on the college years, on working, on relationships, their romantic relationships, and how parents respond to that. We have a chapter on religious faith and parents dealing with the kids believing things differently than they believe. We have a whole chapter on money, and I bet you relate to this. This is the number one source of conflict between parents and their emerging adults. And it was such a prominent topic in our interviews that we devoted a whole chapter to it called The Bank of Mom and Dad. And
Priceless. That's
so
priceless.
Yeah, so, you know, you can understand why the tensions develop, because kids are striving for independence and they want to make their own decisions. But on the other hand, they usually need their parents' financial support, especially in their early 20s. Parents, on the other hand, they try to respect that their kids are becoming independent and give them room to make their own decisions. But on the other hand, if you're a foot in the bill, you do want to have some say about
what kind of car they're
buying, or, you know, that vacation they're going on. If it's your money that's going on that vacation, you understand what we want to have
to say.
You're
absolutely right, but gosh, you pay for their college and you say, hey, are they on track? Oh, we can't talk to you. So that's where it starts there.
Yeah, it is. And so you can understand why it's a contentious issue. We advocate talking about it early on, even before your kids get to leave home, and even in their senior year of high school, have a money talk. And try to look at the next 5 to 10 years. Make that capital P plan, at least tentatively, and say, look, this is what we can afford, and this is what we can't afford. And this is what you'll have to contribute or find a way to get on your own. And I think that might be a difficult conversation to have, but it's going to be a lot less difficult if you understand each other and you put things on the table so that everybody is working on the same assumptions and there are no unpleasant surprises.
I love it. You know, one of the things you have in here, and I really want to stress this to my listeners, and my mom used to tell me this all the time, is, you know, take care of yourself, you know.
Yeah.
So many of us live through our kids and always put all of our energy. And my mom used to say, your kids are going to leave, but your husband's going to be here, and you better take care of your relationship.
She's a wise woman.
Yeah, and well, I have to tell you, that's a big thing.
It is. And a theme of our book is that parents have a life, too. It's not just about the kids' development. It's about the parents' development, too, once their kids reach emerging adulthood. And the good news is that it's often a very good time of life for parents. They really thrive on the new freedom they have once they don't have to do all the daily parenting duties of driving the kids to soccer practice and, you know, making them meals and doing their laundry and so on. It really opens up a lot of things for parents. And for parents who have stayed married, the quality of their marriage usually goes up when their kids leave home, as you can understand, because you just have more time for each other.
Oh, it's that empty nesting. And at first, you know, when our house used to be 4 kids, crazy, crazy all the time. And
now
my husband's like, what happened to us, you know? So I love your book.
Yeah.
I'd love to talk more to you. Where do we find your book? Because I think that every parent should have this, and not at the end of their life, at the beginning.
Well, thanks a lot. It's available at all the usual online booksellers, and hopefully it's in every bookstore in L.A. I'd like to think so. But also, if you'd like to read the introduction and chapter one for free, you can get that at my website, which is jeffreyarnett.com. And you can also go to our Facebook page. We have a Facebook page for the book, and there's a lot of information there as well.
Dr. Annette, I'd love to have you back. This is really, I just think we could talk on so many more things. I love what you've put in your book, and thank you for writing it.
You're welcome. I'd love to come back. It was a pleasure talking to you, Kim.
You got it. You've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show. Stay with us. We're going to be right back. We've got lots more.
Stronghold Schools is an alternative learning program in Ventura for any parent whose child is not doing well or absolutely thriving in the current educational system that they're in. Stronghold is a way for that child to excel in every aspect of their life, whether it's academically, behaviorally, and overcome any challenge that they find themselves in. You can find us at Stronghold School Systems in Ventura, 805-830-5850, or visit us at our website, strongholdschools.com. Our motto at Stronghold Schools is that absolutely no child is broken, and they have the God-given right to overcome any challenge and any obstacle they find themselves confronted with, and our students do.
Debbie, wow, you look great. What have you done?
It's my plastic surgeon, Dr. Curtis Perry. He gave me my look back. He's also an award-winning sculptor.
You look so natural. I've been thinking about plastic surgery. Where is he?
He's in Agoura Hills, and his consultations are free. Call him. Here's his number, 818-661-0791.
You would never know. That's it. I'm calling today.
Dr. Curtis Perry, for all your cosmetic surgery with a sculptor's artistry. Call 818-661-0791. That's 818-667-0791.
Looking for a camp, a preschool, an orthodontist? Look no further than ParentClick.com, one-stop shop for families in Ventura County. You'll find everything for every age in the ParentClick directory. Looking for something to do this weekend? Check out our community calendar. How about a place for your teen to volunteer? Read Parent Chatter. Go to ParentClick.com and register for our weekly newsletter. ParentClick.com, the local family scene and city guide for Ventura County.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Let's bring Carolyn right on. Carolyn, are you there?
Yes, hello.
How are you?
I'm so good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So what is a food stylist? I like that name.
Well, a food stylist is, it sounds like you are in the know in the hair business. It's somewhat similar. It's getting food dressed up and ready for its big photo shoot. So just making things look pretty, depending on where you're working with, sometimes fussing with it more than others. And this book actually, I haven't fussed with the food at all. I actually end up eating the food just after I take the picture.
So, you know, it's so interesting. You know how you see things on TV sometimes, like that really good looking, a steak, right? And I'm like, oh, my steak doesn't look as good as that. You know, so is that what you're doing? You're actually styling it?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I actually do that work too. But commercial food styling is very different, definitely, than editorial styling.
Mm-hmm.
The editorial styling is all about, you know, making things look yummy enough and encouraging enough for people to cook. Whereas, you know, I think commercial styling is more about the dream, the idea of the thing.
Wow.
To inspire people to buy it.
I love your book. It's really simple. It's got tons of pictures in it, so you definitely have done some amazing food styling in here. And for $20, and again, anybody that's just joining us right now, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show every Saturday from 6 to 7 and then again from 2 to 3. And I always bring you stuff that I think can add value to our lives. And Carolyn, basically all these meals are for 4 people, correct?
Exactly. Well, it sounds like you have a busy household with 4 kids.
One of my passions is definitely food. And I'm looking at some of your things in here, ground lamb, butternut squash salad with chili and cilantro oil. Yum!
Yeah, it's a good one. And, you know, these recipes, they serve for sure. They originally were written for my friends and I to eat together, to enjoy together after I cook, you know, my day job from 9 to 5 in various test kitchens. This is the food that I come home and I cook. And in New York, all my friends are 20-somethings who are, you know, overworked and underpaid. So these were the recipes.
Like moms. They're moms to be or mothers, right?
Yeah, you know. But now it's funny. I have a son. You know, he's only 8 months old and toothless and not eating food yet. But I can totally imagine putting some of these recipes on the table for him. And I think that, too, as our responsibility as parents is to, you know, get interesting, different foods on the table, too. It doesn't mean that your kids might gravitate toward them in the beginning, but, you know, introducing new foods to the table is a great, great joy that we have.
I know, and, you have on here, again,
pizza six ways. Wow.
Yeah. The style of the recipes are written in a sort of caption form. So it's as though I'm standing in the kitchen with you, walking you through things. Let's get on this roller coaster together, and I'll show you how to make some Swiss chard, you know, that kind of thing. But there are sections within each chapter that have a master recipe. So the pizza, for example, is one of them where the recipe is sort of a skeleton, and then after the master recipe, I have sort of flavor variations, quick ideas of how to create a variation on that one recipe.
Let's just take that for a second. Okay, so you can make a bunch of different pizza doughs, correct?
Sure.
So would you show the recipe for that? And then, my new favorite, I mean, there's a couple of them now, but arugula. I actually am growing it in my garden.
Oh, good.
So arugula and kale. And so you show a lot of those. I mean, this speck, what is a speck and arugula pizza? Let's see, 2 medium tomatoes, cored and crushed, and 6 ounces of fresh mozzarella cheese, and then you just put 2 cups of arugula. Oh, my gosh, I could do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. Speck is just basically, you could use prosciutto. It's practically the same thing, but it's just very delicious. That whole spread, basically I'm focusing on different sort of seasonal elements. Like I have a leek and parsley pizza, which is better for now for us in spring, or the summer tomato and fresh chili pizza, and or the crushed tomato, anchovy, and provolone pizza. Both of those would be great for the summer too. So just basically the idea of taking the shell of a recipe being the process of making pizza from home in a very hot oven, you know, crisping the dough on the bottom of the bottom rack of the oven so that it gets nice and crispy underneath, things like that, little tips, but then giving you the free rein to and some flavor ideas to make it your own.
I love it. Again, anybody that's just joining us right now, you're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We're talking with Carolyn Wright, and she is a food writer, editor, and I love it, food stylist. And her book is $20, 20-minute meals. And so all of these are under $20 or less?
Yes, absolutely.
And what was your motivation to write that? I mean, obviously we're all on a budget, but I think it's so great for right now.
Well, I think, I think it sort of came from my friends who, again, are all sort of overworked and underpaid and new cooks themselves. But they're interested in sort of replicating the elegant and interesting foods that they could otherwise probably would have to go out to eat in New York. And I was trying to tell them, like, no, let's go and grab something cool at the market. Let's do this from home. And, you know, we can have an interesting meal. And hey, instead of you paying for dinner, like, go grab some wine and we'll learn how to do this. I'll teach you how to do this together. And so the idea is being able to bring fresh fast food to your table without any sort of prepared ingredients. And from the market, sometimes things can be a little bit more expensive. You might be thinking like, farmers markets, that's, you know, not always so cheap. But I'm trying to focus on something new, maybe something that you haven't cooked before, using like celery root, for example, and saying like, hey, let's bring that to the center of the table, center of the plate, and I'll teach you how to use it in a cool way and hopefully bring it into your repertoire and that you'd be able to focus on it because you've spent maybe a little bit more than your usual what have you. And so that's the large premise of the book as well.
So, Carolyn, okay, you talked about celery root. Talk to us about what is the benefits of celery root and what would you make from it?
Well, I have a great recipe in the book, celery root rösti, which is a sort of take on a typical, like, sort of Swiss ski dish. It's basically a fancy word for a large potato pancake. But this, exactly that, I've used it as a different sort of flavor variant than, like, a potato, but it behaves in a pretty similar way. It's just really delicious. It tastes sort of like celery, like you would imagine. But it has this really fresh, vibrant flavor. And in the book, I top it with eggs. You put it into a broiling oven. I top it with eggs and some Gruyere cheese, and it's completely delicious. So it's a little on the wintry side, but it's really delicious.
Oh, it sounds amazing. And, you know, it's funny because I've learned so much about celery and how many benefits. It really it helps to with high blood pressure. And so I wonder if the root would have even more benefit.
Yeah, it's chock full of definitely vitamins and every minerals and things like that, too, for sure.
Huh. And so and now is it you I can't find it in your book. Which page was it? I don't know. Okay.
Well, are you looking for the roast recipe? It is on. Let me. I'm finding it right now.
Okay. We're looking for the recipe.
I know. Leafing.
Yep.
Oh, it's here on page 97.
97. I just want to see. So where? I mean, do you just buy that anywhere? The root?
Oh, yeah. Yep, you can definitely find it. In, like I said, in the more winter months, you'd be able to find it at a farmer's market. But now, year-round, you can find it certainly in any sort of more upscale market like Whole Foods or anything like that. But you can find it in standard grocery stores as well.
Okay. So give us some tips, my listeners. I'm sure they're, you know, this is such a great book. I'll tell you why. Because when you've worked all day and you rush home and you want to just, you know, put something on the table really quick, 20 minutes for $20. And I'm all about this. This was kind of the book that I would write if I was going to write a cookbook. You know, I remember when my kids were hungry, I had, you know, okay, how much, you know, what can I find in my pantry and what can I put on the table? Now, you also have desserts in here too, right?
I do, partially because, you know, I, like probably so many of us, have a little bit of a sweet tooth, and I think that it's just so great if you happen to want to have a group of friends over or, you know, want to use any of these recipes for a dinner party instead of just a standard dinner. You can just do a little bit of extra work, and certainly for far less than $20, you can throw together a dessert and round out the meal and make it even that much more special.
All right. So, God, just a stay put fudge sauce. Ooh, yeah.
That's a good one. It's good for so many things. Well, sort of inspired just by a standard fudge sauce, but instead making it so that it stays when you add it to a cone or spoon it over a sundae. It's helpful. I actually did plan it for cones specifically, so
yeah,
it doesn't run all over.
But you use 4 tablespoons of unsalted butter, right?
Yes.
So you're making your own
fudge,
yes. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh.
It's delicious. It's complete. I mean, and the other recipes, desserts in the book are mostly like, you know, fresh fruit oriented. I have a recipe for homemade crepes that harken back to my time originally having gone to culinary school in France. I've got some sort of personal aspects of that there, too. But I definitely believe in rounding up the meal with a dessert occasionally for something extra special, and my friends have benefited from that for sure.
There you go. Now, you know, I want to ask you, what inspired you to do this?
Well, I have a sort of 9-to-5 of cooking, so I am cooking all day long and come home, and just like you or everyone else, I, you know, have tired hands and feet and have to end up cooking something for my family. So there's that element for sure. The other element is that learning among cooks who do cook all the time, my dinners do look very differently sometimes than just the standard person's. You know, I eat all day, I'm cooking all day. So for me, I might, after a workout or something like that, I might just want a pureed soup, a salad, and a piece of bread. And that to me is dinner. And I actually think that that's an inspiring way for people to bring different things to the table, just so that, you know, if you can't bring steak and potatoes to your table in 20 minutes, you can bring something else that's like has as much integrity or as much interest and flavor in a lot of different ways, and also healthful. It's a very healthful way of cooking.
Right. You know, if anybody's just joining us right now, you're listening to the Kim Pagano Show, and I'm so glad you are here. We are talking with Carolyn Wright right now, and her book is $20, 20-Minute Meals. And this is just, I have to tell you, I'm like one of those 4 kids, fast, I do hair fast. I always tell my clients if they're sitting in my chair and I'm going slow, might not be a good day, you know. I'm usually, that's where I'm on, you know, and I like to put together meals that are really easy. Most of your meals in here are really easy, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. I focus on inherently sort of fast and fresh ways of cooking. So if you start with fresh produce, you already have so much great flavor there, and trying to just draw out as much of that as possible in as quick a possible way. So, you know, whether it's, you're not going to see any sort of slow braised large chunks of meat, for example, since that's not going to get done in 20 minutes, even though that's a delicious way to eat as well. So yeah, you just focus on the things that you can do in that time, and there is so much that you can do, and so much flavor that you can bring to the table for your family.
Now, let me ask you, is this your first book?
This is my first, well, it's the first book that I've written for, that I'm the sole author of. I've worked on a lot of other books before, this is my first solo project.
Oh, congratulations. That's great.
Thank you.
Now, are these meals that you have used or did you create them just for your book?
Oh, yeah, these are original recipes for the book. I also have a column on a food website called food52.com, and actually on my website, therightrecipes.com. Every Tuesday, I create new $20 20-minute meals as well. That was born actually after this cookbook. Mm-hmm. But they are original recipes. I'm an original recipe kind of gal.
I like it. Now, I'm looking at this one recipe that just caught my eye, grilled chicken cutlets with grapefruit and watercress salad.
Oh, that's a delicious one, and that's a great one for right now for spring. You can find watercress at the market for sure. It's a sort of take on a Milanese-type dish of a grilled cutlet topped with a salad, and in this case, it's segmented grapefruit, which is super easy, a great way to peel grapefruit quickly without any sort of seeds or anything, and toss a quick salad with some watercress and a little bit of a dressing of fresh grated ginger and some juice from the grapefruit that you've segmented, so you're not wasting anything, and you toss that together quickly and serve it with the grilled chicken. It's really delicious.
Oh my God, sounds amazing. Give us one. I know we're running out. What are the tips that we should always have in hand?
Well, in the beginning of the book, I have a great tips of how to like wash and store salad greens, homemade dressings, you know, so that if you want to round out a meal, that's a great way to do it. I also suggest definitely read the recipes before you start so that you can gather all of your ingredients. That really helps get things done in the 20 minutes allotted so that you're not like running back to the refrigerator and grabbing things while you're in the middle of cooking.
Perfect. Where do we find your book?
You can find a list of the online booksellers on my blog, therightrecipes.com, and, you know, all the usual suspects, but it's also on shelves in local bookstores as well.
And
you can follow me actually on Twitter at therightcook, and I will keep you updated there too.
You got it. I love it. You've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show. We've been talking with Carolyn Wright, $20, 20-minute meals. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We've got lots more. Thanks, Carolyn.
Thanks, Kim.
All right. Bye-bye.
For all your personal services, choose Forever Bella Skin and Tanning Spa, located in Westlake. Forever Bella offers tanning in a clean, spa-like environment with the latest in high-end, high-pressure tanning beds. Choose from the Power Tower Stand-Up Tanning Bed or the Sunboard UVA Bronzing Bed, or get the best of both in the Jet Power Combo Unit. You will also love the VersaSpa Automated Airbrush Tanning System that hydrates your skin, never streaks, and dries you completely before you leave. Or get a custom airbrush tan by one of the highly trained specialists. There are never any contracts for Forever Bella. Stacy, the owner and licensed esthetician, offers body waxing and eyebrow shaping, also custom rejuvenating facials. Forever Bella sells only the best skincare products. Sonia Dakar and Yanka of Paris. Forever Bella also offers a wide variety of tanning lotions, accelerators, and bronzers, in addition to products by Tweezman. Give them a call today for an appointment. 805-496-0786. Mention Kim Pagano Show and receive 50% off the second service. That's 805-496-0786.
Grow your business by advertising in Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly targeted audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of residents, business owners, and visitors who are ready to become your customers. And mention KVTA to receive an upgrade to color for no additional cost. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com or 653-0791.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome, Ann. Are you there?
I'm here.
How are you?
I'm so excited
to hear about this. You see it everywhere. Everything's gluten-free now, but you've actually come up with your own series so that things are so expensive that say gluten-free on it that you've kind of put together a whole another amazing book, right?
Right. Well, people know me as the author of The Cake Mix Doctor, and also in the series of books, The Dinner Doctor and others that followed. And probably about 5 or 6 years ago, I started getting emails from readers saying, we love your recipes, but could you create gluten-free cakes? You know, our daughter has celiac disease, or my husband can no longer have gluten, and how can you help us? How can you create cakes that, you know, that they can eat? So I wrote the Cake Mix Doctor Bakes Gluten-Free last year and went on tour with it, and it was cakes, cookies, whatever, made, you know, in a gluten-free style. And while I was in all the tour stops, people were asking for dinner. They wanted chicken pot pie, and they wanted meatloaf, and they wanted lasagna. And I started keeping a running list of all of the foods that these gluten-free people craved, the recipes they thought they'd never be able to eat again. So when I went back to my kitchen.
Let's back up for a second, because I know a lot of people hear about gluten-free, I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show every Saturday from 2 to 4, and I bring you things that can add value to our life every day in every way. And today we're talking with Anne Byrne, and her new book is Unbelievably Gluten-Free. What is gluten? Celiac disease. What is that?
Well, gluten is the protein that is found in wheat, barley, and rye. It is a protein. It is that sort of elastic protein that allows French bread to get it, to have its height and its crunch. If you think about pizza crust, that edge that's on a pizza crust, how it just stays put when you bake it and it comes out, that's the gluten that's in the flour. Okay. It keeps its shape. And so when you, a lot of people are not able to metabolize, their bodies are not able to metabolize this gluten. And so when they eat, if they would eat gluten or foods with it, they get really, their intestines flare up, they get really sick, they lose a lot of weight, they're miserable. And those people most likely have what's called celiac disease. Right. They just can't even process it. There are people who are sort of intolerant of gluten. They're sensitive to it. And then there are people who just choose to go on a gluten-free diet, maybe at the advice of their doctor, because they feel like they, you know, might feel better, or their a skin rash might clear up. So that's kind of what gluten is, and that's, you know,
so they're actually allergic to it, because if you're talking about a skin rash, right, then, I mean, people actually have skin rashes to them too?
Yes, you can have all kinds of things. And there can be medical situations like high blood pressure, rheumatoid arthritis, MS, lupus, that actually people feel better when they're on a gluten-free diet.
Unbelievable. All right, so Anne, do you have that disease? Is that why you wrote this book, or you just felt like there is a need for it?
I need for it. I do not. And I was a little, to be honest with you, I was concerned about that. I said, how will the gluten-free community accept me as somebody who is not gluten-free and is writing a book for them? But, you know, after reading so many emails and they kept coming back in, I thought, no, wait a minute, I'm actually just doing this for them. So this book is my gift to the gluten-free community. I went in my kitchen to test and to spend a ton of money on gluten-free ingredients so that the average person doesn't have to. And you can, and my goal was to create recipes that taste so great that nobody would ever know they were gluten-free. But really, you can
serve them. Can you tell? Can you really tell? If you were talking about, I mean, that's one of my husband's favorites, the chicken pot pie.
Uh-huh.
Could you really tell that it doesn't have any gluten, or does it taste different?
No, it doesn't.
Wow.
The key ingredient of that pot pie is the crust. And so coming up with a gluten-free pie crust was a big moment. I took a tip from a woman in Knoxville, Tennessee, who had told me she makes pies for her husband who's gluten-free, and she said that the secret ingredient is cream cheese, because if you add that to your gluten-free dough, you're able to press it like Play-Doh sort of into a pie pan, and you don't have to get out the rolling pin and roll it out and transfer, which is just not possible when your crust calls for, you know, it's rice flour based. Rice flour is very fragile and crumbly. So I think I found that they were coming up with that pie crust, coming out with a great roll recipe, a great pizza crust recipe. There were sort of these gateway recipes that once I figured those out, I could then run with it. And then there are a lot of recipes, like in the pasta chapter, where you're just using your favorite sauce, a great sauce,
But your pasta choices are corn pasta or an artichoke flour pasta.
Ah, you know, it's interesting. Yeah. I've been learning a lot because I'm trying to kind of lose weight myself, so I'm kind of deleting pasta and bread and potatoes. Mm-hmm. But there are so many pastas out there now that there's a great choice. That I mean, even like the squash pasta, or what is it, the pasta that's a squash, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like spaghetti squash.
Thank you.
Pasta.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. So you put a sauce on it, and you're right there. So
you're right there. Yeah, my book sort of takes it to a little bit higher level. It's for people who, you know, they've sort of done that, but wait a minute, they want real pasta,
mm-hmm.
or they want lasagna. And so the key was testing lasagna recipe with different types of lasagna noodles to come out with a recipe that really tastes like the real deal. And I love my skillet lasagna. It is made in the oven with a lid on the pan, and I use a brown rice lasagna noodle. It's great. It doesn't get super starchy like the wheat flour lasagnas do, and as a result, your lasagna has this perfect balance of pasta to sauce. You know, it doesn't get all gluey and bricky like a lot of lasagna.
Right. It sounds really great, and I just want to remind my listeners that if you are just tuning in right now, that you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and we're talking with Ann Byrne, and she is the cake mix doctor, and now she's actually come up with this unbelievably gluten-free holiday sampler, right? I mean, that's what it's got in here. I mean, I'm looking at your website, and pumpkin spice bread, cornbread dressing, homemade pie, and baked apricots. The baked apricots sounds really good. Tell us
that's
a little bit
fabulous.
About that.
That's going on. That's actually going up on my blog today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because we've got a big Facebook chat coming up.
Okay.
But it, you know, it is... It's great. I love baked apricots. A great alternative at Thanksgiving and during the holidays. You just use canned apricots and you layer them drained in a pan with brown sugar and cinnamon. But the topping that goes on top is crushed gluten-free crackers that are like a gluten-free Ritz is what they are. They're made by Glutino, but you can find probably other brands. But it's a great idea of how you can just make any casserole, side dish for the holidays, gluten-free by using a gluten-free cracker crushed up with melted butter. Everybody can eat it then.
Sounds good. Wait, I'm writing this down. So it's the apricot cans, right? Brown sugar, and what did
yeah.
you say?
Well, it's just a little bit of cinnamon, but they can go to cakemixdoctor.com. We've got that recipe going up today,
okay.
And they'll be able to access that.
You know, it sounds like what you've done, Anne, is actually accommodated the rest of the family, because I know, you know, one of my husband's aunts and her son have it, and it, you know, I mean, even going to a simple birthday party where everybody wants to eat pizza, I feel so bad he wasn't able to ever eat that. And so this is like you eat something that everybody's going to enjoy, and you're not cooking double. I mean, I think that's what a lot of families had to start doing, correct?
They did. Not only cooking double, and if you've got celiac in the household, you have to almost keep two separate kitchens because of cross-contamination. I didn't realize until it is just how flour gets sort of into the crevices of, say, a wooden spoon. Or when you measure something, and if you don't really put that utensil in the dishwasher and it's really super clean and you put it back into the drawer, so little traces of flour can kind of be in the baking drawer. And people who have a celiac in the house really have to keep separate drawers. And I have information on the book in that on how to set up that separate part of your kitchen to keep it really gluten-free. But it's fascinating, and you're right. It's such a dilemma for families where one person is gluten-free and everybody else is not. So the challenge was creating those great-tasting recipes, really the pecan pie, the baked potato soup, you know, the Tuscan, you know, white bean soup, all those things, big stuffed mushrooms, cheese wafers, really, that are gluten-free.
You are making me hungry, and it sounds good. You know the other thing that I'm looking at and thinking that when you mention gluten-free, it's so expensive. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and so you're actually giving them tips to eat gluten-free on a budget.
Yes, and the best way you can do that is to make your food at home. I mean, we all know that. It's more expensive to eat out in restaurants. It's also more expensive to buy it pre-prepared and frozen. So, you know, yes, you could go get your pie crust frozen at Whole Foods. Yes, you could go get your pre-made pie crust in the freezer. Yes, you can. And you can use my pie recipes using them. But if you really want to take it one step further, make it homemade.
get out the food processor, throw in the pie crust, the gluten-free pie crust mix, throw in some cream cheese, then the butter, and make your own crust. Divide it into three, press them out, and you've got three crusts ready to go.
Sounds so easy for you, because we're talking with Ann Byrne right now, and she's got, you are the cake mix doctor, and you've got these great series, and now you came out with Unbelievably Gluten-Free. You know, what I want to ask you is a little bit about, how did you get started?
How did I get started doing gluten-free or just cooking and writing?
Cooking and writing.
I come from a family of really great cooks. My mom was just always thinking about food, and we would be sitting there eating a holiday dinner, and she'd be planning the next meal right at the dinner table. We just were always food-obsessed, food-focused all the time. And I started writing for newspapers, and it was really more about hard news, and I sort of drifted into
your passion.
Writing about food.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so do you come up with all these recipes on your own, or do you get them from other people that are tried and they love them, or how does that work?
It's a mixture. I mean, the writer in me loves a good story, so I seek out those great stories and those great recipes from people I meet on book tour. I mean, I've actually, you know, people I talk to on the radio, I'll follow up because I love a good story and I love a great recipe and I love to credit people, and people who read cookbooks love to read about other people in some part of the country and maybe in their own hometown, you know, who passed along that recipe. On the other hand, there are just sometimes you have to get in the kitchen and just trial and error. And that's what I had to do a lot of in this book. How do we make the angel food cake? How do I make that pie crust? And that's when you just get in there with all kinds of possibilities and you just start. And in the process, it may not be a straight line, but you wind up with an answer. And oftentimes it's a better recipe than you really thought of in the first place.
Right. And Anne, is there a lot, I mean, what are the basic helpful tips for avoiding the pitfalls, okay, when you're cooking for gluten-free?
The tips, think naturally gluten-free, first of all.
What do you mean by that?
Rice. Think of the foods that are already at your disposal that are naturally gluten-free. Rice and corn right there. Rice, what are all the wonderful things you can do with rice? Have you made risotto lately? Have you made a rice salad lately? Have you made a homemade rice pudding like our grandmothers made? Make it. You know, it's naturally gluten-free. Same thing with corn. Mexican cooking, Southwestern cooking based on corn. I mean, there's so many possibilities. Look to the cuisines of other lands. Indian cooking is a lot of the onion bhajis are dredged in chickpea flour, garbanzo bean flour, gluten-free. It's just amazing. Other cuisines in Asia use the rice wrappers, the cellophane rice wrappers that you just sort of mist with water. They get real spongy, and you can wrap up around, fresh vegetable salad, smoked salmon. You can make, and those are like fresh spring rolls that you can make. So I do a lot of sort of looking at other countries to come up with inspiration to really. They're naturally gluten-free. So
do you find that people that are gluten-free are also dairy intolerant? Do you find that really? So it kind of falls together?
It is common, especially people who have celiac. There is a dairy-free option for every recipe in the book. Yes.
You thought of everything. Okay, mm-hmm. I like that. Now, give us a simple recipe. You know, I know it's easy because you've been doing this for a long time, but if you were going to try to substitute some different recipes, you know, just on a breakfast or a lunch, are you mostly a baker?
I'm both. I mean, I'm a baker, but I also have raised three children.
So you know how to cook, right? Because I've got four, and I always used to say I was going to write a cookbook that, you know, with 5 minutes or less, you know, when they're saying I'm hungry and what's for dinner or what, you know. But what is it that, you know, I mean, what is the main ingredient that you have to always keep taking out of your kitchen?
Well, flour. Flour, definitely. And any kind of baking mix that you've gotten used to using that might have flour in it. And any, you know, in baking cakes, you know, do you use a cake mix that you like? You can't use that anymore. You've got to use a gluten-free. So I think those are kind of the critical things. And bread, you probably got sandwich bread sitting in the kitchen to make sandwiches, or you might turn it into French toast for to feed your kids breakfast, you're going to have to buy gluten-free bread. Those are just the obvious ones.
Now, when you say it's flour, can you use wheat flour?
Or no, wheat flour is what I guess I'm saying, flour. But, no, gluten is found in wheat.
So
wheat is the no-no.
Okay.
So nobody can have wheat.
So if you,
right.
I mean, it's so contradicting because first you say you don't want to eat white, mm-hmm. but now you don't want to eat wheat, right?
Well, you know, maybe from a health food perspective, you don't want to eat white. You think there's more nutrients in whole wheat. But when you're talking about a gluten-free diet and people who have celiac disease, that is not the top of their list. The top of their list is feeling better
yes.
and being able to metabolize food so they don't just shed off all this weight. So, and someone actually asked me, they said, well, you've got so many wonderful recipes that call for butter and they call for cheese. I said, you know what? People who have celiac disease are not really as worried about their weight.
And they're really thin to begin with. You're absolutely
yes.
right.
They're worried about their health. And they
right.
want to feel better. And a lot of them do have to go ahead and pick up some weight. But my recipes tend to be healthy anyway. I mean, I cook in a very healthy fashion. I always balance things. I mean, if you're going to make fried chicken, if you're going to make country fried steak, if you're going to do this, you know, serve a salad. You were saying about your kids. One recipe my kids love is called what we call smashed chicken, where you take a boneless chicken breast. And you put it like in a Ziploc bag and you get a rolling pin and you just whack it until it's really thin. And then I usually dredge those in breadcrumbs, a little Parmesan cheese, and I pan fry those in olive oil. And it's like this big chicken scallopini. And it's great, you know, with red sauce. You can serve it with a salad. It's great the next day. But I've got a gluten-free style here, and it's just using, you know, gluten-free, day-old, coarse bread to make the crumbs, and that's it. I mean, that's the only change. You can still have Parmesan cheese. You can still have, you know, a little bit of basil or oregano if you want to add it. You can have garlic. And make smashed chicken for everybody in the family, but make it gluten-free so even your gluten-free child can eat it. And then, you know, serve a salad with it. Serve some green beans with it.
I love smashed chicken. That sounds so easy.
Mm-hmm.
And
so
you're just putting breadcrumbs and gluten-free breadcrumbs, basically, right?
Mm-hmm. And you're making them better. You're taking the breadcrumbs and you're having some minced garlic maybe, and a little Parmesan cheese, a little salt and pepper, some oregano. And you're making that better. And then you're taking those smashed, you know, chicken breasts and just pressing them into, dredging it into those crumbs and then sliding it into hot olive oil and frying it in the pan.
Okay, I'm so hungry. You know what, as we're rolling into the holidays right now, what are some really great, easy recipes that people can take, you know, to any parties? So if they are, you know, there's just so many gluten-free and celiac, you know, people now, what would be a great couple recipes that we can end up with?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I haven't really talked to anybody much about my appetizers, and I love my appetizers.
I love appetizers.
And they're good to take. I have a great little cheese coin. I call it cheese wafers, and those are fantastic. And they're made with gluten-free, actually like a baking mix, like Bisquick, gluten-free Bisquick, but it's shredded cheddar cheese, butter, cayenne pepper, and then you make the dough, you put it in the food processor, make it into logs, chill them, and slice it into little wafers, and you bake them like little cookies. They're fantastic to take somebody, a great gift, real super crispy. Also have a spinach and feta ball that uses gluten-free breadcrumbs, but you use frozen chopped spinach, egg, Parmesan cheese, and feta, and you make those into little balls and bake those. They're great, real festive.
Oh, it sounds delicious.
And then hummus. I mean, don't forget
hummus. Yeah.
And like an onion dip, I have a warm onion dip in here that uses shredded Swiss and onions and hot pepper. And the magic ingredient is mayonnaise, believe it or not. And that's sort of that hot dip. But that is gluten-free. So, you know, think about those dips that you make that, you know, that may be based on sour cream or mayonnaise. The hot dips around Christmas, they're gluten-free. Serve them with a corn chip that says gluten-free on the back, and you got it.
And this has been amazing. You know, it's always fun talking with you. Are all these things that we just mentioned in your new book?
They're all in the new book.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now, where do we find your new book?
You can find it anywhere. Unbelievably gluten-free. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on all online retailers. You can get it at Barnes & Noble or your local bookstore. So it's everywhere. The publisher is Workman Publishing. If you want more information, you can go to workman.com, or you can go to my website, cakemixdoctor.com, and click on Ann's Cookbooks, and you can read about it.
I love it. Thank you so much. And
oh,
have a happy holiday. And let's talk again. I know that we have to keep in touch. I can't wait to get all my books because I love them. I love what you're doing. Again, Ann Byrne, and her book is Unbelievably Gluten-Free, 128 Delicious Recipes. Dinner dishes you never thought you'd be able to eat again. So thank you so much for giving this gift to everybody.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And, of course, God, we've talked about a lot of great things, and it's always about adding value every day in every way. And, of course, I want to end my show. Thank you, Tom, for being here. And always a thought for the week. Don't let your career make something for you. Let it make something of you. With that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and I'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
Stronghold Schools is an alternative learning program in Ventura for any parent whose child is not doing well or absolutely thriving in the current educational system that they're in. Stronghold is a way for that child to excel in every aspect of their life, whether it's academically, behaviorally, and overcome any challenge that they find themselves in. You can find us at Stronghold School Systems in Ventura, 805-830-5850, or visit us at our website, strongholdschools.com. Our motto at Stronghold Schools is that absolutely no child is broken, and they have the God-given right to overcome any challenge and any obstacle they find themselves confronted with. And our students do.
Debbie, wow, you look great. What have you done?
It's my plastic surgeon, Dr. Curtis Perry. He gave me my look back. He's also an award-winning sculptor.
You look so natural. I've been thinking about plastic surgery. Where is he?
He's in Agoura Hills, and his consultations are free. Call him. Here's his number, 818-661-0791.
You would never know. That's it. I'm calling today.
Dr. Curtis Perry, for all your cosmetic surgery with a sculptor's artistry. Call 818-661-0791. That's 818-667-0791.
Looking for a camp, a preschool, an orthodontist? Look no further than ParentClick.com, one-stop shop for families in Ventura County. You'll find everything for every age in the ParentClick directory. Looking for something to do this weekend? Check out our community calendar. How about a place for your teen to volunteer? Read Parent Chatter. Go to ParentClick.com and register for our weekly newsletter. ParentClick.com, the local family scene and city guide for Ventura County.